Good morning. If you take your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. I'm thankful that even though it's rainy outside, it's kind of gloomy, that doesn't mean it has to be a bad day. Just because the weather's different, we can still be thankful, and we're still in God's house, so that's a blessing. Acts chapter 16, we're going to be looking at really a famous story in the life of Paul, one that's really been a call to missions for many people. And it's the Macedonian call. So if you'll look with me in Acts chapter 16, and beginning in verse 6, it says, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city, abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath day we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down, and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, 'If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there.' And she constrained us." Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for the privilege and the opportunity to come once again to your house, to worship you, to hear from you, Lord, to spend time with your people. Lord, I think of all the ones who are sick right now and not able to be here. I pray that you would just be with them in a special way today. Encourage their hearts. Lord, I pray that you would make their time with you extra special. Lord, I pray for now our time in your word, that you would open our hearts. Lord, help us to see truths from your word that will help us to draw closer to you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the most frustrating things, at least in my life, is when you're driving down the road, you're on time, maybe you're just a little late, and you see a giant orange sign that says detour ahead. For me, that just immediately makes my heart sink. I mean, I'm frustrated when I see that. You know, you're about to be there, maybe you're just a couple miles away, then that giant orange sign, you've got to go 10 miles around. That's frustrating. And honestly, that seems like that's happened a lot in the life of the Apostle Paul. He just wants to throw his hands up in the air sometimes and say, why? Why now? Why today? Why this detour? He had a lot of plans that had been laid in his ministry, in his life, in his missionary journeys, but yet many times God changed those plans. You know, that happens to us so many times too. We have plans that we've thought about for so long, we've prayed about, we've set with a lot of thought, but then they get changed. God redirects us, circumstances happen, and it seems like we're being sent on all these endless detours. You know, but our detours often are God's plans. And if we could see the end, God never detours us out of his will. He always keeps us in his will. It may be out of our plan, but he never directs us out of his will. And so this morning we're going to look at the subject of Paul's divine detour. Paul's divine detour. And we have to trust God for the path of our lives, but the path for each and every day. The word detour is really fascinating. I'd really never looked into it before this week. But it's from a French word. D has the word of to turn aside or to go apart from. But then tour means to change in course or to turn. This term had its use in the 13th and 14th centuries, referring to shaping something on a lathe or a wheel. You would set something and detour it around so that you could knock off the rough edges, so that you could smooth it out and polish it. And that's just a fascinating thought when you think of the Apostle Paul. When he's being directed in a way that he wouldn't choose, but yet the Lord's using this to shape him, to mold him, to make him more like Christ. And so Paul is going to be sent on a detour. This wasn't the first time. If you remember on the road to Damascus, one of the very first times we hear about the Apostle Paul, he was detoured. He was going to arrest Christians, to take them to prison. But yet the Lord completely changed his plans, saved him on that road, and then completely changed his life. And then, time and time again, all the exciting stories we really read about in the life of Paul happen on the road. He has so many events that happen as he's traveling. And so Paul, once again, is detoured. And he's on a trip. He's had this trip planned probably for months. This is his second missionary journey, and he was planning to go back and visit all the churches that they had planted, churches that they had encouraged on their first missionary journey. And so they're traveling, and eventually they pick up Luke, they pick up Timothy in the city of Lystra, and so they've got a whole team together. But yet the Lord changes the plans of their trip. And first this morning we see a detour of silence, a detour of silence. Verse 6 of our text says, "Now that when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia." That's interesting. Probably the very first time you read that, you had to go back and read that again. Wait, they were forbidden to preach by the Holy Ghost? That's strange. Why would God forbid them to preach? This had to frustrate Paul just a little bit. I mean, he wanted to go to this place. He wanted to preach. His whole life was preaching. And yet the Holy Ghost forbids him from preaching the gospel. We aren't given an explanation from this, and we don't know that Paul was. It's just a detour of silence. He probably asked why, but there's no explanation given. You've probably heard before, don't follow needs, follow where God leads. Follow God's leading, not the area of need. You know, some areas in this world are very needy, but God may not want you there. God may want you somewhere else. In the view of your whole life, God may call you to a place that you may think, well, that's not nearly as needy. They don't need the gospel near as much as these other people. But yet, if that's the place God's called you to, don't be afraid to go to it. Just trust the Lord. And we shouldn't apply that in the case of witnessing. I mean, you can't say, oh, that person, I just don't feel led to witness to them. You can't apply that the whole way. God's called us to witness to every creature. But at this time, God didn't want Paul going to this area. Maybe he had someone else going to this area. Maybe their hearts needed to be prepared just a little more. But either way, he's commanded to take a detour of silence. He's forbidden to preach the gospel. So maybe he says, okay, we can handle that. We're still on track. That's just going to change a little bit. That region of Asia certainly needs the gospel, but I'll trust the Lord. And so then, if you read in the next verse, it says, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Once again, they want to go into another place. This time, the Holy Spirit forbids them to even go there. The first time, they couldn't preach. This time, they can't even go there. That's a detour of submission. The Lord was testing Paul and his team to see if they were willing to submit to God's will, even when it didn't make sense, to make a detour around a place that they really wanted to go to. The Lord was calling Paul to submit, and he did submit. Once again, they've got another change of plans. This city of Mysia was right near Bithynia. Mysia was to the northeast. Bithynia was to the northwest. I mean, they were right there together. And so Paul was planning just to go into that next city and preach there. But the Lord didn't want him to. And so once again, his plans are changed. And so instead of now going to the west, they continue heading to the east and end up at the city of Troas. Now, this wasn't on Paul's itinerary. He wasn't planning on going to Troas, But yet the Lord had him there for a very specific reason. This was a seaport. This was a place where there were a lot of ships, a lot of travel, and so he was in the perfect place for God's next move for his life. And God was going to call him somewhere he had never ever been in his life, and that was Europe, to Macedonia, to Greece. He had never been there before, but yet the Lord was going to give him something new to do, a place that was 200 miles out of his way, 200 miles across the ocean, across the sea, to a place called Macedonia. Brian Harbour, in his book Rising Above the Crowd, wrote, "The year was 1920. The scene was the examining board for selecting missionaries. Standing before this board was a young man named Oswald Smith. One dream had dominated his heart. He wanted to be a missionary. Over and over again he prayed, 'Lord, I want to go as a missionary for you. Open a door of service for me.' Now he stood before the examining board and his prayer was going to be answered. When the examination was over, the board turned Oswald Smith down. He did not meet the qualifications. They said he had failed the test. Oswald Smith had set his direction, but now life and the Lord gave him a detour. What would he do? As Oswald Smith prayed, God planted another idea in his heart. If he could not go as a missionary, he would build a church which would send out missionaries. And that's what he did. Oswald Smith pastored the People's Church in Toronto, Canada, and sent out more missionaries from his church than any other church in the world at the time. And he allowed God's detour in his life to direct him. It wasn't a detour, in his mind it was, but it was direction into God's will. And he was used to send out even more missionaries. Well, Paul here, he's a little unsure of himself. Once again, he's been, in his mind, misdirected. He can't go to Bithynia. Now he's stuck at this seaport of Troas, Roman colony. He doesn't really know what he's doing. Maybe he feels like he's out of God's will. He's getting all these mixed messages. He just doesn't know what to do. And so they're there for a little while, and then he's given a vision of a man from Macedonia. And that's, thirdly, we see the direction to sail. In this vision, Paul saw a man of Macedonia, you know the story, calling to him and saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us. Come over and help us evangelize." And so Paul receives this vision. He doesn't doubt any longer. And it says, immediately they went into the region of Macedonia. In verse 10, "Immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." Paul receives this direction to sail. Immediately, he doesn't doubt. It's 200 miles away, remember, across the sea. But yet he receives the Lord's leading, and he's willing to go. And so this trip, in this day and time, would have taken several days, possibly even a week with the ships of that time. And so they eventually arrive in Macedonia. But when they get there, they don't see the man that had called Paul. They don't see anybody. They don't see a church. They don't even see a synagogue. This city was a Roman city. It was a Roman colony. It was a very rich city. There were a lot of silver mines and gold mines nearby. And this was really a retirement place for Roman soldiers. The city of Philippi was. And so Paul's really stuck in a Roman retirement city with just nothing. I mean, he has no further direction from the Lord right now. The last thing he's gotten was that vision from the man of Macedonia. And now he's just stuck in the city. Now, this region of Macedonia was really a country. This is a large region. The Lord just really called him into a country. He didn't tell him a place. And so he went to the city of Philippi, which was the chief city of that region. As I mentioned, because it was a Roman colony, there were a lot of people there because they didn't have to pay taxes to the emperor since they were just a colony. It was a rich city. And so Paul decides, well, if I don't know a specific place, I'll just go to the biggest place. And so he's there, he's waiting. They're there for a certain time, several days, but yet he never meets this man. There's no church started in the city. There's no synagogue. Likely there weren't enough Jews. In the law, you had to have at least 10 Jewish males to start a synagogue. And so likely there weren't even enough Jews to start a synagogue in the city. And so Paul, once again, is just stuck. He feels like he's in a detour. Feels like he's stuck waiting somewhere, just waiting for something to happen. But he didn't use this time idly. Because on the Sabbath day, we see, lastly, his determination to preach. It says in verse 13, "And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither." See, they didn't even find the man. We never find a record of Paul ever seeing that Macedonian man who had called to him. No, maybe he didn't show up to church that Sunday. Maybe there wasn't an actual man who had called to him in the dream. Maybe the Lord had just used a vision to send that message. But yet Paul, he comes outside of the city to preach, and all he finds is a group of women gathered by the river. He's not even preaching in the city. He's outside of the city. He says, well, that's kind of disappointing. I would have hoped at least there would have been a group maybe worshiping God. Maybe they couldn't do it inside of the Roman colony. Maybe they'd be outside the city. But instead, it's just a group of women there. But yet, he still doesn't allow this to throw him off. He begins praying. And it says this woman, Lydia, heard him. It says in verse 14, "A certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened." This is the first ever Christian, or who would soon be a Christian, in the continent of Europe, named Lydia. She was from the city of Thyatira. We know from Revelation that that city at one point had a church, because a letter was written to the church at Thyatira. This was also a very wealthy city. Lydia is a wealthy woman. She's a seller of purple. Now, whether that was the dye or the fabric, that was an expensive commodity in that day. The Roman official toga of the colonies and of capital Rome was purple. That dye was obtained from a very painstaking process from shellfish. And so she's a very wealthy person. She probably has servants, people hired under her to work for her. She's a very wealthy woman. She's from Thyatira. But it also says, which worshipped God. Now, this woman is a lot like Cornelius. She had adopted some of the Jewish customs. She had adopted their God, but she didn't know enough to accept Christ. But yet it also says that the Lord had opened her heart. It says that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. God had opened her heart, and so when Paul began praying and when Paul probably began preaching, she realized that what he said was the truth, and she accepted Christ. And Paul, he's beginning to see that his mission is not in vain, seeing that his mission, his detour, really was for a purpose. And even if it was just for one woman, just for one family, he felt that it was worth it. We see later in the text that her entire household came to the Lord and was baptized. The Lord called Paul to go 200 miles out of his way for one family. I think the Lord cares about souls, don't you? The Lord certainly cared about this woman and her family. And later we'll see there were others in this city who would believe. If you remember Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, God called Philip to leave a revival in the city to go out in the middle of the desert just to witness to one man, just to witness to that Ethiopian eunuch. But God cares for us not just as a group, not just as people in general. He cares for us individually. He cared for Lydia and her family. He cared for the Ethiopian eunuch. And he cares for you and me. He loves us so much. And he loved this woman and her family so much that he would send Paul 200 miles out of his way just so that they would hear the gospel and just so that they would be saved. God's love is just incredible. It says that after believing in Christ, she was baptized to show her faith. And she doesn't want the blessing to stop there. I mean, she's already received so much from Paul and from his team that now she wants to be a blessing to them. And so she wants them to stay at her house the entire time they're in the city of Philippi. And it says that she constrained them and besought them. Now she's really urging them. She's begging them to stay at her house. Maybe Paul was already ready to move on. Maybe Paul didn't want to impose on them. But she constrains them. She begs them to stay at her house. And they agree. And once again, if you remember last week, these early Christians were so generous and so kind. Already, as soon as they had accepted Christ, they saw how much the apostles gave and followed their example and gave to one another. And that kind of generosity is so rare these days, even among Christians. But yet this woman, Lydia, is immediately willing to give of herself, to give of her house, her resources, to be a blessing to these people who had brought her the gospel. And such a challenge for us as Christians, not to lose our generous spirit, to always remember what Christ has done for us, and to be willing to give of ourselves for others. And so this was the purpose for Paul's divine detour. This was the purpose to go 200 miles out of his way for this woman, Lydia, and her family. Put yourself in his shoes. I mean, think, if you're going on a trip, you've left, then say you have a family emergency, you've got to go halfway across the country to go to this whatever gathering or whatever it is. That's essentially what happened to Paul. He had to go 2 or 3 days, even a week, off of the chart, off of his map, just because of God's leading. But he was willing to do it. He was willing to go out of his way. And as I said earlier, out of our way is never out of God's will if God's called you to do something. And so Paul is in God's will, even though he's way far away from where his plan was. He's following the Lord. And so the question for us is, are you willing to take the Lord's detours, the Lord's changes of plans? When God cancels your tickets, when God calls you out on a Macedonian detour, it doesn't feel like a call to you, feels like a detour, something away from your plan, away from what you've had set up. If God calls you to do that, are you willing to go? Are you willing to step out, whether it's just to witness, whether it's to be a generous giver to someone else, whether it's to make a choice you know God wants you to make, but it's going to completely change the course of your life? If God's called you to do something, and you know, if you assuredly gather, as Paul did in verse 10, that God's called you to do something, there's nothing you need to be afraid of, nothing at all. Because if God calls you, God will enable you. You've heard that before. But God will always give you the strength for anything God's called you to do. And so are you willing to go? Where God calls, he enables. And he will give you the strength to take that detour into his will. And God's detour is never away from his will. God's detours in our minds are his will. So let's follow God's will, even if it's away from our plans, because it's for our good and for God's glory. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your direction in our lives. Lord, thank you that you care so much about us. Lord, you sent people out of their way to witness to us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be willing to go out of our way to witness to others. Lord, you love us so much. You came all the way from heaven. Lord, the biggest detour that was ever taken, you came from heaven to save us. Lord, but that was your plan. Lord, it doesn't make sense to us. We can't understand it. But thank you for giving up so much, for giving up everything for us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be sensitive to your leading, to listen to your call. Lord, even when it doesn't make sense at all, help us to be willing to follow. Lord, I pray that we would look at Paul's example and follow him as he followed you. Lord, I pray now that you would bless in the service to follow. Help our hearts and our minds to be open to your word and work in a mighty way today. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.